Welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill, the pastor of Providence Presbyterian Church, located in Evansville, Indiana. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. If you'd like to find out more information about the church, you can visit our website. That information will be available to you at the conclusion of this devotional. Today is Tuesday, August 1st, 2023. This is edition number 129 of Season 8. As we continue looking at the Westminster Confession of Faith. Today we'll complete chapter 22 by looking at paragraph number 7. Let's pray first. Our Father in heaven, as we again come to your word, we come to that which will light our path. We come knowing that we are in desperate need of your Spirit to teach us and guide us. And so may he illuminate our minds and our hearts to your word. And may it be pressed upon us, and may we live out that which we hear, we ask for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, paragraph number 7 completes chapter 22, chapter 22 of Religious Oaths and Vows, and paragraph 7 reads, "No man may vow to do anything forbidden in the Word of God, or what would hinder in any duty therein commanded, or which is not in his own power, and for the performance whereof he hath no promise of ability from God. In which respects, popish monastical vows of perpetual single life, professed poverty, and regular obedience are so far from being degrees of higher perfection that they are superstitious and sinful snares in which no Christian may entangle himself." So a couple different issues here in this paragraph. Obviously, you cannot and you should not make a vow before God to do anything that God forbids. I know that sounds ridiculous to say out loud, but the fact remains that some people have done it, do it. No man may vow to do anything forbidden in the Word of God. If it's sin, you can't vow to commit that sin. If you do make that vow, you've sinned right there because you've committed yourself to a course of action that violates the very Word of God itself. You also cannot vow to do anything that would hinder any duty therein commanded. So you can't pit two commands of Scripture against one another and vow to do one over against the other. You just cannot do that. That would violate the spirit and nature of God's law and those things that he commands. You also cannot vow to do things you can't do. I can't think of an illustration off the top of my head right now other than the most absurd or ridiculous of ones. But if you make a vow, for instance, using the membership vows of the Presbyterian Church in America, you have the third membership vow says that you will live as a faithful follower of Christ. Well, you can do that. You as a Christian have the blessing of the Spirit of God to live obedient lives. That doesn't mean you're never going to sin. You sin daily in thought, word, and deed, but it's not beyond the scope of your ability granted to you by the grace of the Holy Spirit. And so you ought to make that vow. But if you seek to make a vow that you cannot perform, that you don't have the ability, in other words, let me give you one. It's kind of silly, but anyway. You can't take a vow before the Lord never to sin because you're going to. It's not in your ability to live a sinless, perfect life. We have indwelling sin. We don't love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We don't love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's not been a day since you've been redeemed that you've done either one of those things in a perfect manner. That's why you need Christ. So you can't take that vow. You sin daily in thought, word, and deed. And so it's not in your ability to perform that. You can determine to live as a follower of Christ. You can use all the means that Christ has given to you. But to take a vow before the Lord to never sin again is foolishness because you are going to break that every single day. And so you can't take that vow. It's beyond your power to keep or the ability or the performance that is required to do it. Acts chapter 23 is one of the proof texts that's given here for this final paragraph of chapter 22. Acts chapter 23 and verses 12 through 14. "When it was day, the Jews made a plot and bound themselves by an oath, neither to eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. There were more than 40 who made this conspiracy. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, we have strictly bound ourselves by an oath to taste no food till we have killed Paul. Now, this is a ridiculous vow. Why is it ridiculous? Well, based on the statements there in the seventh paragraph, no man may vow to do anything forbidden in the word of God. Well, they're plotting to murder. And the sixth commandment makes it very plain, makes it very clear that you shall not murder. And this is what they're vowing to do. And so they're going to starve themselves to death until they've killed Paul. In other words, they're going to starve themselves to death until they sin. And you cannot make that kind of a vow. You also cannot make these other vows, such as is illustrated here at the end of the paragraph, popish monastical vows of perpetual single life. Now, we know this is a fact within the Roman Church, and again, the Westminster Assembly was dealing much with the Roman Catholic doctrines that were prevalent in that day. And this is one of them wherein the Roman Church binds a man over in commitment to celibacy all of his days. He is not to be married. Well, the problem with that, of course, is that the Bible says much about marriage, because marriage was instituted by God before the fall, and in fact, it's a perfect picture of that marriage, that union between Christ and his church. But Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Now, God gave marriage for many different reasons, but the fact is he did give it, and to bind a man over to celibacy is foolishness, and in fact wrought with great difficulty and leads to great difficulty most of the time or quite frequently. But we are not to take those superstitious type vows thinking that we have attained to some degree of higher perfection, because they typically lead to sinful snares. Now, Jesus dealt with this all the time with the Pharisees of his day when he was ministering in this world, and he ran into the traditions of men and all these superstitious things that they were holding on to, thinking they were somehow more spiritual than everybody else because they took these vows, they made these commitments in matters that the Word of God does not bind them to, lists of rules and regulations that the Word of God does not speak to. These are dangerous things. They can ensnare us if we are not careful. Remember, we can only take a vow based on the clear teaching of the Bible. And so we need to root those vows in Scripture. So using the marriage one, how is it a man can take a vow of celibacy when it's quite clear in the Bible that God instituted marriage, and men ought to get married unless God gives them the gift of singleness. They ought to get married that they might procreate, that they might bring offspring, that they might keep themselves from sinful snares, temptation and lust and all the other things that come along to fallen men. They ought to do this unless, of course, they have that gift of singleness. And so to take such a ridiculous vow like that is only going to lead to great destruction. Now, I think the experience of our culture has taught us that. We have read, sadly, too many news reports of men who have taken such vows and then have gotten themselves into all sorts of sinful, trouble because they were unable to control themselves. Well, again, it's because of these superstitious things that they have held on to and have taken and have bound them. They have committed themselves to, in which God warns quite clearly that we ought not make those kinds of vows. So we need to be careful. Let's root our vows in God's word as it's plainly taught. The argument that Jesus wasn't married, therefore, that's descriptive. That is not prescriptive for how we'd live. If it were prescriptive, then every one of us who are married would be wrong in sin right now. And so it's ridiculous. And we need to be careful that we don't fall into superstition when it comes to the vows that we make. Well, I trust these times are helpful for you. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. The way to reach me is there before you on the screen. And so until August 7th, okay, again, I'm taking a few days off from the devotional, but until August 7th, may the Lord help you. May he guide and direct you. And I will see you again on August 7th when we begin looking at chapter 23 of The Civil Magistrate. Until then, may God richly bless you.